So my name's Milgo Geese. I'm a real estate agent here in Tokyo. I've been doing this for about 10 years now. So actually, you know what? Let me jump onto the next slide. That's me. 10 years now, I've been doing real estate, just over 21 years here in Japan. I'm Australian with a Japanese wife, three little children, three under 10. So life is quite chaotic. Most of my clients are kind of a 10-year younger version of me. Young family, just gotten married. Time, you know, that's kind of the time to buy a new house, or maybe they've got young children. So that's who I kind of work with very closely. They tend to be long-term residents, so hence they try to get the financing and what have you. They've got stable employment here. So that's most of my focus. Long-term residents, either both foreign or one, there's a Japanese spouse that are just looking to, you know, make Japan their home, like I think a lot of us have decided to do. So today we're going to discuss, the talk is about home loans, largely, okay? Tomorrow's talk will be talking about the property purchase. So I've got a talk today and a talk tomorrow. Tomorrow's one's all about property and the search and the, you know, pricing factors and what have you about the property, your search criteria. Today we're talking about home loans, okay? Loan eligibility, what are the requirements to get a home loan in Japan? Interest rates, we hear about the super low Japanese interest rates. Are they real and how do they even work? Your borrowing capacity, how much you're actually able to borrow, how much the repayments are and what the closing costs are. Ways to calculate your budget, okay? There's a few different methods. Life insurance and different features of home loans, like early repayments. Okay, sorry. And then the application process. Okay, how to actually apply for a loan. We will have a Q&A at the end of this. So if there's any sort of real pressing questions or, you know, curiosities during the talk, fine, you can stick your hand up. But I think a proper discussion we can have at the end. And then also straight after this, I'll be going upstairs for the breakout session. And that will be, I think, a much smaller group. You can come and join in. It'll just be a bit more face-to-face time. Okay, so the first thing is eligibility requirements. This is probably one of the more important topics that I think people have a preconception and a misconception about, because they hear so many different different things from different people. Okay, and everyone's situation is so different. What you hear from one person may not really be applicable to you. But the first one is you need to be a resident of Japan. Okay, that's a pretty blanket rule. If you don't live here, if you're a foreign, like a resident in the US, you're just here on a holiday or you don't even live here, you won't be able to get a home loan. There are some maybe other loans possibly. We have a speaker tomorrow, I believe, that will talk about non-resident loans. But for the most part, for a home loan, Japan needs to be your residence. Ideally, you'll have a permanent residency or a Japanese spouse. If you have either of these, then you should be able to get 100 or even 110% financing. So 110% means all the closing costs are included in the loan. Okay. If you are just on a work or a spouse visa, okay, you don't have permanent residency, you don't have a Japanese wife or husband, then you're only eligible generally for about 80% financing. Okay, 20% deposit, which is still very good by Western standards anyway. You need to have full-time employment. You can't be a part-time worker. So ideally, you know, stable employment. At least 1 year, okay? If you've just changed jobs and you've been maybe 3 to 6 months in the new job and the previous job you were there for quite a few years, then yeah, that could work. It's a bit of a case by case. But in general, 12 months at your current employment is the good situation to be in. Proof of income. So Japan, when they assess your borrowing capacity, they work on last year's tax return, your Gensen Choshu Hyo. Okay, so you need to have that. And also, I'm going to put this at the bottom. I haven't discussed it in the past, but I've had two issues recently where it's come up. You need to be physically healthy. And I'll touch on that when we reach the life insurance part of it. And I don't mean very, very healthy, but not seriously unwell, okay? So, yeah, but we'll get to that. So let's look at the interest rates. We hear so much about the different kind of loans that are available or these crazy sub 1% home loans. Okay, are they true? Do they even exist? This is from, these are the main banks, the mega banks and some online banks. Their rates as of last month. So I haven't updated this month's one. They usually announce them on the first of every month, but haven't had the chance for that. But anyway, they're largely unchanged from for quite a while. The first column is the variable interest rate. Okay, so you see there's quite a lot about the 0.3 to 0.4, 0.5. The second row is the 3-year fixed, 10-year fixed. You can get 3, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and 35-year fixed, but, I mean, it's much of a muchness, really. This should give you a good idea of what's available. 35-year is generally means the full length of the loan. Okay, so 35-year loan term is the standard full length of a loan. Mitsubishi UFJ Bank was... Here they advertise 0.345%. They've been giving our agency a 0.075% discount. So the past, like, you know, dozen clients we've gotten with MUFJ have been 0.27% is the rate that they're getting. Very interesting to see the 35-year fixed. Shinsei is doing 1.55%, which is really good for a 35-year. That's set for life. Like, there's no risk of anything changing with that. Okay. And now these are from the changes. You know, there's been concern that interest rates are rising. Okay. The short term, so this slide talks about the changes from August to September. So when banks revise their interest rates, it happens on the first of every month. That's when they announce the new interest rates. So the October rates were just announced a few days ago, but the from August to September, when there were talks about, you know, rate hikes and what have you, the variable rate, well, there was no change across the board. They were all unchanged, and the variable rate for loans has been pretty much unchanged for, I think, 14 years now, 14 or 15 years. 3-year fixed, 5-year and 10-year have actually all decreased. That's a negative sign. So the 3, 5 and 10-year interest rates actually went cheaper from August to September. All right, so now let's touch on sort of borrowing capacity, repayments, and closing costs, okay? So this gets quite technical in terms of numbers, and there's a lot of text. It's the least attractive slide, but probably the most important one in terms of identifying where you stand, your eligibility, and what the numbers are going to look like. So the borrowing capacity, quite a simple back-of-the-envelope calculation, is about 8 times your annual salary, your annual income. So if you get your tax return, your Genten Choshu here, it says your, like the biggest number there, it says your gross income was 10 million yen, then you can borrow about 80 million yen, 8 times that, okay? If you want to think, well, you know, I want to borrow 100 million, so the reverse is also true. In this case, let's say you want to borrow 100 million yen, divide that by 8, you need, in this example, a 12.5 million yen annual income can borrow you 100 million yen. So sometimes if you see some listings for sale, you walk past a real estate agent, you see something on the window, you go, okay, that's the price, divided by 8, that's how much annual income you need to get a mortgage to cover that loan. That one's pretty straightforward. Actually, one thing I will mention with this is this is your total household income. So if your spouse is also working, again, the spouse also needs to meet sort of the health requirement, full-time employment status and whatnot, then you can also add their annual income to yours. So if you're on 10 million and your spouse is on 7 million, they'll work on 17 million household income, okay? Now, this is probably the most significant and interesting slide I find when I want to look at Japanese home loans and compare them to Western home loans. What does it really look like when you have a 0.2, 0.3%, 0.4% home loan? What do the numbers actually mean? It's low interest, but how cheap is it? When I like to say it's free money, and I do think it's free money. 0.2 up there is not really that absurd. Earlier this year, I was getting 0.19% for some clients. Okay. And this example, again, I use 100 million yen because it's a very easy number to sort of extrapolate on. If you think, look, I only want to borrow 50 million, just divide this by 50%. You want to borrow 150 million, just add times it by 1.5, right? But even if we talk recently, I said we've been getting 0.27%. Okay, so let's look at the 0.3% number here. On a 100 million yen loan, it's 250,000 yen a month is the mortgage repayment. Over the life of the loan, after 35 years, the interest that you've paid is about 5.3 million yen. So you've borrowed 100 million yen, you pay back to the bank 105 million. They've only made 5 million yen over 35 years. Now, I've got mortgages in Australia as well. I think a lot of us have, loans overseas, or we see the numbers overseas. I think my loans in Australia now are at 7% down the bottom. That same loan in Australia, $1 million kind of equivalent, is 630,000 yen a month repayment. And that portion, 168 million, that's just the interest. So you would borrow, you'd be paid back to the bank, 268 million. These numbers are ridiculous. That's why when I say free money compared to what we're used to in the West, which is like these, these lower numbers, I got into this business because after I bought my first house, I was just telling all my friends, you have to buy a house. It's the best deal you can get. It's no money out of pocket. The bank will pay everything, and it's free money. And it gets better. So we talk about the closing costs, and you've probably heard different numbers about closing costs. Okay, people often say 10%. Okay, really, it's about 6 to 8%. So 6% is a pretty safe number, and depending on the financing option that you want to choose, you may have to add another 2% on top, and that's what that bottom row is, the loan fee with the bank. Okay, so the closing costs include the title registration and transfer, and that goes to the government. The agency fee, which is where we get our money from, so it's purely commission-based for our business. So it's 3.3% plus 66,000 yen. There's stamp taxes. When you get a receipt and there's a little 200 yen stamp sometimes on it, when you sign a contract for $1 million, it's like 30,000 or 60,000 yen is that that little stamp that you have to buy. You have to pay some asset tax, and earthquake and fire insurance is about 100,000 yen a year on like a 100 square meter house. Although those rates are going up a little bit now. But let me just jump onto the loan fee, that 2%, and how that works. Because when you look at banks and home loans, this number pops up and you go, why is there a 2% difference in the interest rate between plan A and plan B of the bank? So when we talk about the loan establishment fee or the loan fee, there are two options. You can get the really cheap interest rate, like 0.2, 0.3%, but there's a loan establishment fee of 2%, or it's 2.2% because there's sales tax included. So if you pay that, so on a 100 million yen loan, it's about 2.2 million yen is the cost. And usually you can include that cost in the mortgage, so you don't actually pay it out of pocket. It goes on top of the loan. Okay, but sometimes there are some cases where the bank will not actually pay your closing costs. Maybe you've maxed out your borrowing capacity, or possibly You've got some other situation where the bank doesn't want to give you the closing costs. So in that case, you may want to keep your cash contribution as low as possible. So you'll opt for option two, which is a fixed loan fee of about 30 to 50,000 yen. But the base interest rate, instead of being 0.3%, it will go up by about 0.2, which is 0.5%. Now, people kind of look at this and say, well, which option is better for me at the end? Pay 2 million yen up front or pay 0.2% for 35 years extra? Option one is cheaper, 2.2 million yen up front. But option two, after 35 years, you've paid about 3.5 million yen. So maybe about 50 to 70% more. However, that's distributed over 35 years. So it's personally, I like option two better, okay? Because if you sell the property midway, then you haven't recouped all of that cost that you've paid up front, okay? So there's a bunch of factors to consider. Apologies. Alrighty. So I want to talk about calculating your budget. And there's two main ways that we like to calculate budget. One is, what is the maximum that the bank will loan you? Okay, and that's a pretty common one. So if you earn 12.5 million yen, the bank is going to give you 100 mil, as we discussed before. And then how much cash do you have on hand? Okay, maybe you have 10 million yen, 20 million yen, whatever. Add that on top, that's your maximum budget. But often people are like, you know, I don't want to put any cash in. You know, I just want to maximize the loan. So that's one option. The other way to calculate it is based on how comfortable are you with monthly repayments. So we said before, a 100 million yen loan is about 250,000 yen a month. Okay? Like, and we look at sort of what depends on the interest rate, etc. But in this case, I think we looked at this example here at the bottom is... I used the number 27 here, that's about a 0.3 or 0.4% interest rate. So how we do it is, let's say you want to borrow 200, your max comfortable repayment is 250,000 yen per month. Divide that by 27 times Ichiman, times 10,000, comes to 92 million yen. So in this case, a 92 million yen will be about a 250,000 yen monthly loan repayment. Okay, so that's just if you're looking at, say, 200,000 yen a month, I get some people will say, look, the most I want to pay is 200,000. My current rent is 200,000. I want to keep paying that same amount. Then we do the same calculation. It'll come up to about, 80 million yen is what that loan amount is that equates to a 200,000 yen monthly mortgage repayment. They're the two main methods we use to calculate what is your budget. And it will be the lower of the two. All right. So life insurance. when I mentioned the interest rates before, I said it gets better. And so in the mortgage, there's actually a life insurance policy included. All right. It's called Danshin, Dantai Shinyo Seimei Hoken. Okay, so if at any stage you, the borrower, passes away, the loan gets wiped off and your spouse or whoever inherits the property will inherit it without the debt. Okay, so the main thinking behind this is in my case is a very good example. I've got three little kids under 10. If I pass away, the last thing I want my wife to have to deal with is, not just the fact that I've gone, but also now she has to sell the house, find a new place to move the family, okay, new schools and all of that. Like anyone with kids knows schooling is tough in general at their current school, let alone having to relocate and move and do all that sort of stuff. So when I think of life insurance, I think the main thing is just protection and stability for your family. So amongst all this grief, they don't have to be displaced as well. Okay, this life insurance is included in the policy. Okay, it's included in the cost. There's no additional separate cost you need to pay. In that 0.2, 0.3, 0.4% interest rate, life insurance is included in that. Okay. And when I say this is a pretty good deal, if you think 100 million yen, so $1 million loan or $1 million life insurance policy, probably costs in another country more than 0.3% of the annual premium just to keep it. Okay, so the fact that this is included, I think, is a great deal. Actually, just one more thing about this is you have to get it. It's not optional. You must be able to get the life insurance. If you cannot get the life insurance, if you cannot pass the screening for some health conditions, then you'll be rejected from the life insurance. So it's pretty mandatory. There is one option where there is one loan which it's optional. So, for example, if you've had cancer before, if you're very severe diabetic or something like that, and you won't be able to get through the health screening, there is one plan where it's optional and you don't have to get it, but usually we don't have to go down that route. I want to touch on this very briefly because I don't think it's a realistic scenario to happen, but there are some protections in place. Often people ask, what happens if the rate increases? We get some really big interest rate hikes. The banks on a variable loan, your payment changes every 5 years. Okay, so even if interest rates go up, your actual payment stays the same, and after 5 years, they will recalculate how much you need to pay based on the remaining balance. Now, if interest rates do go up and you do have to pay more, there is a cap that your repayment cannot increase by 125%. So if you're on a mortgage repayment of 200,000 yen per month and interest rates go to 2 or 3 or 4% and something really high, the most it can go up to after year 5 when they reevaluate it will be 25% increase. So that's 250,000 yen per month is the repayment. So in a hypothetical situation where interest rates go through the roof, you may need to pay, okay, after 5 years, 250,000 yen. And then 5 years later, it goes up to, 310,000 yen, right, from year 10 to 15, et cetera, to try to make up for the extra interest payments. And maybe at the end of the mortgage, 35 years, there's a remaining balance because you haven't been able to cover all the interest. But those scenarios, interest rates need to be going up to like past 7% to make it unrealistic like that. So there are some protections in place, but I don't feel that they would get triggered. The rate rises don't, the numbers don't make sense for that to be triggered. And then early repayments. This is also something that people often ask about, but then when they look at the numbers, they go, oh yeah, no, it's not worth doing. So you can pay early. And there's no penalty to pay early. And you can either pay the full amount or just, if you have an extra 5 million yen, 10 million yen, 1 million yen, whatever it may be, you can prepay it a bit early. And when you prepay, there are two options that you can choose. One is you can reduce the loan term. So you keep paying the same amount monthly, the same 250,000 yen per month, but because you've prepaid an extra 10 million yen, instead of 35 years, it goes down by a few years, okay? The other option is keep the loan term the same. The loan term stays 35 years, but instead of paying 250,000 yen per month, you pay 245,000 yen per month. So the repayment amount gets reduced. So you can choose which option you want to go ahead with. Keep in mind, though, that if you put 10 million yen in, all you are saving is the 0.2 or 0.3% interest on that. So you put a whole bunch of cash in there and you're only saving 0.3%. And you can never get that money out again. Okay? So personally, I think, especially with foreigners who have access to overseas financial markets, we're probably better off with our money saved elsewhere getting more than 0.3%. The interest rate is higher that we get, and also it's liquid. We can access it anytime we need. If we are struggling with monthly repayments, fine, get some of that cash from the bank and put it in, okay? And help yourself during the tough times, because once you put it in, you can't get it out. So that's why I think people like the idea of it, but in practice, it's not, they just don't end up doing it. Also, I said the loan includes life insurance. The loan includes life insurance. If you pay off 10 million yen, your life insurance policy coverage has effectively gone down by that much. And I said, life insurance, it's such a great deal to come on this loan. So, just keep that in mind when you consider things like early repayments. Okay, I think I've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. So I just want to go through some quick examples, some recent case studies. I've got three client examples recently here of home loans, and I tried to pick a bunch that sort of showcase a few different things that we've experienced and that I've talked about, and then we'll go into the loan process. All right, so this is a foreign couple. This is in August. They purchased a 97 million yen apartment in Nakameguro, actually, by the river. They wanted 100 million yen. We negotiated 3 million, so 97. We got it for 97. The closing costs came to 4 million yen, and the loan fee was 2.2 million. Okay. The total cost was 103.3 mil. Now, this person's income, based on their income, their borrowing capacity was 102.9 million. So the bank said, look, the most we'll give you is 102.9 mil. So that's why we were looking for around 100 million yen and cheaper, between 90 to 100 million yen sort of properties, because this client didn't want to use much of his own cash. So, but he fell in love with this place, and the total out of pocket that he had to do was a difference between the loan amount and the total cost, which was 400,000 yen. So he had to pay 400,000 yen out of pocket. The interest rate was 0.29%, and that's on a 35-year home loan. And that monthly repayment comes to 257,000 yen a month. Okay. This was a foreign couple, and the guy had permanent residency. This is a more recent one. Okay, this one was a house that the client bought, 123.8 million yen, a brand new build, beautiful big place. Closing costs were 4.7 million yen. And the loan establishment fee, they opted for the slight rate hike, 0.2% higher interest rate. And so the actual loan establishment fee was 30,000 yen. So we see the total cost. I made a mistake. Apologies. Total loan was 123.8 million. So in this case, the bank only gave the full loan amount. The full amount for the property, nothing for the actual closing costs. So apologies, there's a mistake there. That total closing cost should be 4.7 million. So another 7.5 up there, 8.5. So anyhow, he had to pay that 4.7 million cash out of pocket. Now, let me explain this particular situation. And this one touches on a few of the items that we've mentioned earlier. This person was not in a very good health situation. He's quite a big guy, and his health check result gets a lot of like D's in it. And he also has to go to the hospital every month, okay, for medication and health checks. Okay, so it was quite a challenging we got rejected from quite a few banks for the life insurance portion. He gets paid very well. He can afford a lot more than this, but he wasn't able to get the life insurance. Finally, some banks have an option. It's called wide danshin, so a wide coverage insurance, and that's a separate application. It's a bit more complex. He even got rejected on a few of those, but finally one bank came through and said, yep, our particular life insurance provider has accepted your health check results and whatnot. And so for that wide life insurance, it was an extra,
It was an extra 0.3% on top of the interest rate. Okay, so usually I think it's like this bank, the base rate is like 0.325, and then we had to add 0.3% onto the life insurance portion. So for the wide life insurance, so that interest rate bumped up to 0.625. And initially we were looking for all the closing costs, everything to be included in the loan. But the bank or the life insurance provider said, because of your health situation, we're only going to cover the property cost. We're not extending beyond the value of the property. So all the closing costs, you need to pay yourself. So he said, well, look, when you guys were going to pay all the costs, including the cheap interest rate, then we were going to choose that option. So 2.2 million yen or the 2.2%, include that in the loan. But in this case, he went for the cheap option because that's cash out of pocket now. Okay, he can't roll that into the loan. So that's another 0.2% increase. So the base rate is 0.325 plus 0.3% for the wide life insurance plus another 0.2% for the low closing cost option. It came to 0.825%. All right. So his monthly repayment is 351,000 yen. This is probably one of the higher interest rates that I've seen because of those stack-on items. But it, again, by any other standard, is still very, very good. Alrighty. And this final case, July. Okay, yeah. This was a tower mansion we sold down near Yokohama. 83.8 million yen. This client also got renovation. So I didn't talk about renovation costs in the previous loan, but in the previous slides, but I'll bring it up here. You can add renovation costs into your mortgage. All right. So in this case, it was like a 15-year-old tower mansion. So he just wanted new wallpaper and install a dishwasher as well. There's a few items he wanted to do. So our office, we have a renovation team. So it came to 2.6 million yen. We prepared a quote for him with that, including all the closing costs, 4 million, loan establishment fee, 2 million yen. Total cost came to 92.4 mil, and the bank, I think his borrowing capacity was like a bit over 100 million yen. So this, the bank basically paid for everything, and it was zero out of pocket. Okay, so closing costs, renovation, and property purchase, no money out of pocket. It's cheaper than renting an apartment. You know, when you rent an apartment, it's, five, 6 months out of pocket and feels like a whole lot of begging. Buying is not that difficult and not that expensive. Interest rate is 0.27. This was with Mitsubishi UFJ. 35-year loan term and 230,000 yen a month mortgage repayment. The loan process is quite straightforward. Generally, your agent, myself, we do it all for you. There's very little that you need to do. We bring you the papers or if it's an online application, we provide it for you and we'll sit down next to you and go through and do everything. But generally, depends on the bank and your situation. We can generally get pre-approval in about 48 hours. Okay. If you don't have permanent residency, if you're one of some, and there's some other hiccups with your application, some banks will need about 2 weeks for pre-approval. Once we get the pre-approval, okay, we sign contracts with the seller, etc., we make a formal application. So we've done the pre-approval application. Next step is the formal application to actually get the official approval. Okay, if you've gotten the pre-approval, it's like 90% chance that you'll get the formal approval. After the formal approval, about 3 days before, 3 to 7 days before settlement, we'll actually go and sign the contract with the bank to say that we're actually engaging in this loan. The bank is going to loan us the money and we're going to repay them over the 35 years according to these rules and this agreement. And then on settlement day, we generally all go to the bank and we meet at the bank, and the bank will transfer the 100 million yen into your bank account. And then we distribute it to, 95 million yen to the seller, 3 million yen agency fee, some goes to the insurance, the scrivener, all the closing costs get distributed. Okay. And in the whole process takes about 6 to 8 weeks. But at the end of that session, when we all meet at the bank and you transfer the money, the seller will hand you a bunch of documents and the keys. And the house is yours. So after we leave the bank, you can go straight to your new house. And that process takes 6 to 8 weeks. And that is pretty much the end of this talk. Thank you very much for your time. Awesome, thanks. So we do have, I think, a few minutes for Q&A. I've got my little kitchen timer here that took 36 minutes, so that was good. We'll do have about 5 or 10 minutes for some Q&A, and then we'll also have the breakout room upstairs in the back. But yeah, let's get on. Yes, sir. Sorry, could you speak up a little? Okay, so that question, yeah, is he owns his own business. When you're not a salaried employee and you're a business owner, does that impact your borrowing capacity? Very, very good question. Yes and no. It doesn't really impact your borrowing capacity as much as generally if you're a business owner, even if you're a Japanese national, if you own your own company, then, or if you're self-employed. So there's two scenarios. You own like Kabushiki Gaisha or a company and you're just the representative director, you draw a salary. Or if you're a sole proprietor, okay? In those cases, you generally need to put 20% deposit. So you cannot get the closing costs included in the loan and you need to put 20%. The bank will only pay up to 80%. They will still give you the... like 8 times kind of calculation. There is a bank that will give you maybe 100%, but about 6 times your calculation. Yeah, for the most part, 20% deposit is what you need. Another thing, when you're a business owner, it's very important. The bank will also ask for your profit and loss statements, your tax returns for the past 2 or 3 years. So, because what they know is when you're the director, you can say, look, I give myself 15 million yen a year income. But does your company make that much money to begin with? So if your company's been in the red, had a loss, like in any of the past 2 or 3 years, it could be very challenging to get funded. Okay? Yeah. Thank you. Yes, sir. Oh, sorry. So the microphone. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, we talked about the interest rate earlier. I think that was in July. The Bank of Japan raised the interest rates, but right now we saw that for the fixed term, for example, the rates decreased. So basically, are the bank just like making less profits and not passing that on to the existing rates they're proposing? Because the Bank of Japan is also, I mean, there is expectation that maybe towards the end of the year, they may raise the rate again. I mean, depends on other factors. But yeah, I was just curious about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation about that. And so people have been asking that. And that's why I put this slide up. It's, okay, what you hear on the news is one thing, but this is the actual data from the banks. And this is their forecast, like mid to long-term rates. So this is their analysis of what is going to happen in the future. Okay. With the midterm, like these 3 to 10 year fixed rates, it's kind of what the bond rate is kind of what they base it on. Short term, they can base it on some of their more current, each bank's current economics, okay? And long term as well, it's okay, what's their business long term forecast? So it's really hard to speculate as an individual. That's why I put the data up. So I'm not going to speculate, I'm just saying this is what's happened for the past month. And this data is quite available online, you can see. Sorry, I've got one here and then a gentleman over there. And then.
Thank you. I've heard that bank might increase interest rate if you want to rent out that house that you borrowed with them.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So if you buy a property using a home loan, can you rent it out? So the straightforward answer is generally no, you cannot rent it out. Or if you do rent it out, the bank will increase the interest rate or they'll ask you to sell it. They'll say, this property was for a home loan, not for an investment. Okay, so we want you to sell it or we're going to make you pay a higher interest rate. I've seen a few different scenarios. The most common scenario that I've seen is, you know, if you've been living in there for 10 years and then you move, you relocate, whatever, clients have just changed their address online, like for the bank, changed their postal address online, and they just keep paying the mortgage. The bank doesn't know it's been rented out. That's one scenario. The other scenario where, let's say, you've only lived there for 3 to 6 months and then you've decided, hey, I don't want to use this property anymore and change your address. If the bank thinks, hey, look, we suspect you lied to us. You never even lived there. They can ask you to sell it. But the situation which I've seen is they've said, look, we're going to remove the discounted interest rate. So instead of getting 0.37, you're going to have to pay 2.2% or something, or 1.7%. There's a certain base rate, and these are the discounted rates from the base. So they'll say, we'll remove your discount.
So they will not grant them to take over or sell it?
Sometimes they won't threaten to take it or foreclose on it. What they'll say is, you need to repay the loan. We're not going to keep this loan. We request that you repay it, which often means you either need to come up with the cash or you need to sell the property. But I've only seen that happen once. Another time we had a client, he's a lawyer and he sort of left the country. He told the bank, look, he may come back. What's the situation? He's going to rent it out in the meantime. And they gave him 3 years. They said, look, you can keep the current loan for 3 more years. And after 3 years, you can decide, are you going to sell it, pay off the loan, or come and live back here? Okay. So he decided to actually, he's a lawyer, so he follows everything sort of, you know, very, very much above board. He was very upfront with them at the beginning. I've had people come up with all different stories to the bank and whatnot. They are becoming a bit more, I think, concerned or clued in to that situation happening, particularly with people buying it and never living there. They say it's for a home and they decide not to live there. So now when I get people asking me that, I'm a bit more like, maybe not the best idea. Thank you. Can we get the microphone? Oh, yeah, you've got it. Okay, awesome.
So when you mentioned using the income to qualify the loan, and I'm curious, does it have to be Japanese sourced income or could be overseas sourced income?
Oh yeah, that's a great one. I get that a lot. So I mentioned earlier, yeah, do you need Japanese sourced income or is foreign sourced income okay? It kind of depends when you say foreign sourced. So the short answer is, it needs to be Japanese sourced income. So I have had a client, a Japanese guy with a foreign wife who lives here, resident here. He worked for an IT company in the US and gets paid fully over there, right? His wife's American, gets paid fully over there. But they declare all the tax in Japan. So the tax return says that they're getting paid from that foreign entity. The money is paid in the US and then they transfer the funds to Japan. The banks didn't like that. They weren't too happy about that because he had no real income here. I have had another scenario though. So where the person was an expat, So they were getting paid sort of like $500,000 in Japan and another $500,000 sort of in overseas. And it's all declared here. And it was like, you know, a lot of, you guys, when you're an executive at that level, there's a lot of sort of stock structuring and options and whatnot. But the bank, because he'd been at that company for some 15 years, the bank did look at the whole thing holistically. So it's a bit of a case-by-case basis, but I think a lot of it is, I'd say it's a bit challenging. I do want to ask, are you talking about maybe just employment income or consulting income, or is it you have real estate over there that is...
So, yes, passive income in foreign country, overseas.
Okay. Look, I know if it's like stocks, like dividends that get paid or whatnot, they kind of don't like that. If it's real estate, what they'll often look at is, well, you have a real estate asset. Real estate is a challenging one. You have a real estate asset that's giving you, you know, thousands of dollars a month. But there's a good chance that you also have a mortgage on that asset. And so now they're going to look and say, wait, you've actually got a mortgage overseas. They don't like that because they say, well, how much? You can only borrow 80 million yen. You've got $600,000 of US debt. You've already exceeded your borrowing capacity, right? So it's even if they do consider it with real estate assets because of the mortgage that's associated, and they can tell there's a mortgage because when you do your Japanese tax declaration, it will also say your interest expense. And so there, if you have an interest expense, you've got a debt. Okay, so
thanks.
It's tricky. Okay, last question, and then I will wrap it up. And I think I'm going to head up to the fourth floor for further discussion. Lucky last, yeah, you've been waiting, sorry.
Thanks a lot. So you mentioned the loan amount is based on income, but to what extent does the loan amount can vary depending on the value or the type of property? Because I've seen an example where banks were asking to see the types of properties or that the person wanted to buy, and then depending on whether it was old, over 35-year-old or stuff like that, then the loan amount that they were ready to provide was changing.
Definitely yes and definitely no. For most ordinary properties that I deal with, like in Tokyo, like family homes, pretty modern, less than 20 or 25 years old, or a brand new property, or even like a 20 or 30 year old tower, like a mansion, there's no issue. They'll give you the full amount. It's when you get these kind of more run down properties, or the ones that are no rebuild allowed, or they're in a different prefecture. They are the ones that are like a 1960s property, for example. They're the ones that the banks will say, "Ooh, we don't really want to touch that, or we won't assess it." Or land value only, or maybe you've been using Prestia. I didn't put Prestia up there because I don't like their assessment. Other banks will just give you want an 80 million yen property, they'll give you 80 million yen. Prestia will say, well, we'll give you 100% of our assessed value, and they'll assess it at 72. So that's why Prestia can be okay in some unique circumstances, but I don't usually use them for regular home loans. Thank you very much, everyone, for your time. Really appreciate you listening to me.